and welcome to the very first episode of the Student Insider Series podcast and interviews, brought to you by members of the Student Advisory Group within the Chartered Association of Sport and Exercise Sciences. We have two members of the Student Advisory Group with us today, and the first one is Annabelle Skidmore.
I'm Annabelle Skidmore. I'm the Postgraduate Representative for the Physical Activity for Health Division.
And I'm Victoria Tidmus, the Postgraduate Representative for Physiology and Nutrition Division. We're here to give students a voice and share useful insights from leaders, researchers, practitioners, and students in sport and exercise science. Today, we're thrilled to be joined by Professor Zoe Knowles, the Chair of the CASES, so Student Chartered Association of Sport and Exercise Sciences. And she's also a professor of engagement and learning at the Liverpool John Moores University. She's here to talk about her career, the mission of CASES, and the opportunities available to students like us.
So firstly, some sort of background questions. So Zoe, what was the motivation behind your chosen career?
Thanks, Annie, and thanks to you both for inviting me along to this podcast. It's great to share some insight into my career and the workings of CASES, of particular relevance to students, and congratulations on launching the Student Insider series. So the inspiration for me in my career was I wanted to be a PE teacher, in all honesty, and I got a set of distinctly average, some would say awful, A-level grades and had to go through clearing. The only offer I got was a course in turf science and golf course management. I don't think my husband's ever forgiven me for not taking that up. And I approached John Moores University, who were launching a new coaching science degree at the time, and got in on that course. And then I did my, I came across a lecturer in my second year on the programme who was teaching sports psychology, Professor David Gilborn. And that really changed my career path, to be honest, and set me out on a journey to learn more about sports psychology and eventually through study and professional training to become a sport and exercise psychologist.
Oh, brilliant. That's really interesting. And you've touched upon it a little bit, but what were some of the most sort of significant barriers that you faced, and maybe how did you overcome them?
In terms of barriers, thinking back, there was at the time when I studied a lack of opportunity to gain experience, actually, to learn your craft. It seemed at the time there was lots of courses out there, but there was a real lack of opportunity to, I guess we'd call them these days, placements or applied experiences, shadowing. And I certainly find the community is better with that these days. And also as a student, I had to work. And had a number of employment roles that were working with the public. So I worked in a high street cafe. I did some volunteering, and I also did some gymnastics coaching. And all of those roles actually gave me skills that I've used ever since in sport and exercise science. And I think that without those skills, there would have been a real barrier there to being effective working with people. I think one of the other barriers is a sense of when you're working in elite sport at the time, you had to be available 24/7. There was this real desire that you had to give everything. And I traveled abroad with international teams, and it was 24/7. And I think we've got better at looking after the people behind the team or the athletes, and we talk a lot more about practitioner self-care and well-being and contracts and ways of working have have developed over time. But there was this kind of incessant sense that you had to be available all day, every day. And that was a challenge because I couldn't do that. And later on in my career, when I had a family, it was just practically impossible. So I took a career shift into other areas. So having moved from sport more into exercise and physical activity. So I think that was a barrier in terms of time. And that sense of availability, and also that of being a female working in the elite sport domain and the opportunities. And again, I think we're in a very different place now. And you know, and hopefully the work that I'm doing is driving that forward in some way. But again, there was, you know, challenges around that. I remember a placement when I was first training at a sport academy, and they didn't have any female toilets. I had to go across the road to a restaurant to use their toilets because they didn't have any toilets in their training facility. So wow, look at how things have developed now from when I was training a long time ago, shall we say. So some barriers there, but I'm pleased to see that they're being challenged, that they're being overcome from within the sport and exercise community as a whole.
Yeah, definitely. Thank you for sharing that. And again, like you've touched upon it slightly then as well, but what does it mean to you to be a woman working in sport?
Yeah, really good question. And you know, genuinely today I'm seeing a lot of barriers being broken down. I'm incredibly proud of the work that our EDI committee does within Casey's, that's led by Dr. Katrina Fraser, who's based out in Australia. And they're really driving forward and challenging stigma across a number of marginalised groups that we see in sport and exercise sciences. And for women, it's been a challenge. And those women that have smashed those glass ceilings, lent into agendas, put themselves forward for particular roles. I always have a thing when I support other women, I always say, happy to support you, but please pass it forward. And I think the sport and exercise science community is really good at that, actually, that we learn from those that have created the culture that we're now in, that have done, had those battles and had those challenges. And at some point you pay that forward. So yeah, whilst there are still, I'm not saying that there aren't challenges out there, I'm saying that as an organisation with Casey's, we're really trying to challenge that. We're trying to listen to our members, our students, and we're advocating for change in the sector as a whole through the work that we do with the public and external affairs group as well.
Wow. Yeah, that's brilliant. Moving forward. And then sort of looking back, what are you, would you say, most proud of in your career?
In the context of today's interview, this is going to sound really cheesy, but actually it is about becoming the first female chair of Casey's. There had been for many, many years male chairs. There was significant or senior women amongst the organisation, but not a female chair. And it was only when I kind of looked at it, when I'd been a chair of division and the opportunity came up, that I thought, well, somebody's got to do this, right? Yeah. So why can't it be me? And so I went for it. And it has been an incredibly proud time for me to serve. I'm in my second term at the moment. And yeah, it's been an opportunity to lead an organisation, to lead change. We've created great change, none more so than with the chartership project over the last couple of years. So I'm enjoying the role. I'm enjoying leading change, leading the organisation and the small but perfectly formed HQ staff, and the volunteers like yourselves, like those that sit on groups and projects across the association, leading them to create better things for the sector.
Yeah, it's an amazing achievement. Thank you.
Okay, so Regarding just CASES and a bit more information about its mission, Zoe, for students who may not be very familiar, can you briefly just explain what CASES is and what it stands for in the field of sport and exercise science, please?
Yeah, sure. So CASES is the Chartered Association of Sport and Exercise Sciences, and our mission and vision is really clear. It's about promoting and advocating for the sport and exercise sciences. So making sure that sports, public health, government agencies, organisations, schools, colleges know that sport and exercise science is a profession, that it demands professional standards. So we're really promoting for each and every sport and exercise scientist that's practicing out there, those that are in higher education, and for students who are the next generation of sport and exercise sciences. It's about also ensuring that as a sector we use the best evidence-based practice in our work, that we support research, that we disseminate knowledge perhaps to different audiences than that of academic papers, to making sure that it gets to public, the decision makers, policy makers, in such a way that's understandable to them and that they can use it. And we've always been known for promoting high levels of professional standards in the work that we do. So if somebody is CASES, accredited by CASES, or if you're a psychologist, that you become HCPC registered through our Sport and Exercise Psychology Accreditation Programme, that you know you are getting to work with a trusted individual who has met standards of ethics and practice and insurance and continues to develop. So we do all of that on behalf of the sport and exercise science sector. We are the largest professional network in the UK, and I think it's important to state that for students, we're here from day one. So if you've just started your sport and exercise science course, we're here for you now, and we will be here with you throughout your career as you move through your education, your professional training, potentially fellowships, and developing you as a practitioner through mid and late stage as well. We see ourselves being an organisation to represent sport and exercise scientists at every career stage.
Brilliant, thank you. I myself, as a member of CASES, I use CASES evidence or protocols to back up what I'm doing as a sport scientist. So yeah, it's I would obviously again recommend students to just have a look at what you've got, what CASES has to offer. It's so broad that, thank you, it's nice to just get a good overview of everything. So how did CASES come about, and what was the original kind of motivation behind the development and your involvement through its evolution up until it is now CASES?
It's a really timely question, Vicky, because we've in May 2024 we became the Chartered Association of Sport and Exercise Sciences, and as part of that huge project on behalf of the sector, we had a glance back in terms of how did all this come about. We'd also celebrated 30 years of the association as well, and it started back in 1984 actually, and it was the British Association of Sport Science back then, sport scientists had got together to create an entity that would represent the sector, and that ran from 1984, I believe, to 1992, and then it became BASES, and the E was exercise science, and there was a rise of acknowledging exercise as medicine and as a distinct discipline. And that ran, BASES ran till 2024, and then we became the Chartered Association of Sport and Exercise Sciences. And what that means is that the chartership is awarded to organisations that have a real distinct, important and significant public value, and it's a recognition of of us as an entity and what we do for the public more broadly, and that we operate and are governed in certain ways, and that we're really important to the UK and the Commonwealth, and hence the chartership was awarded by His Majesty the King. So there has been that evolution of the organisation. I think what's been a constant feature in that is students,
yeah,
and recognising that you are the next generation, and it's about how can we support you to do that. And we have members across the association that are just starting out, maybe this September, and those that are coming towards retirement at the end of their career, and how nice to have an association that represents that breadth across careers, across career stage. So whilst we've had a few name changes, the premise has always been, it was mentioned before about using evidence, the best available evidence to influence your practice or your academic work. We want to advocate, we've had over the last 2 years, we've submitted evidence to DCMS calls, for Office for Student Calls. We've been involved in discussions at Westminster. We want to really advocate that sport and exercise science is a viable career.
Yeah.
And that, as accredited individuals and as graduates, that you are marketable, that you are really you are set up to have a great impact on the graduate workforce, wherever that takes you after graduation. So whilst we've had some name changes along the way, the sentiment has always been professional standards, dissemination, working with the best available evidence that's informed by high quality research and scholarship, and about promotion and advocacy for the sport and exercise sciences as a whole.
Brilliant. Thank you. I know you touched on it a couple of times, actually. But how does Casey's align with the broader kind of goals of advancing sport and exercise science, both academically and professionally? So is there a continuation with the Casey's resources, memberships, that sort of thing?
So we're here to sort of advocate for the whole of the sector, and we want to be able, we've Professor John Dickinson, who runs the outreach work that we do with the association. We want to be talking to students who are choosing their career path, maybe at GCSE level, and help, helping them to understand what a sport and exercise science degree, whether that's a broad or a specialist degree, what that can, what that can offer. And that there's a real sense of, if you take us with you, we will guide you through your career decisions. You will be able to develop with us. And so that's really, really important. And for those that might want to go into an academic career, again, it can be helpful in terms of, your first kind of teaching role, and resources and support and communities related to academia, as well as those that go on into practice. And actually, we do have quite a few members that maybe have gone on into other roles, but always want to keep in touch with sport and exercise science and just see what's happening, that they might consider a next career move back into the organisation. So yeah, it's really good to keep connected and to keep working with the sector, and to hear from the sector about what they want from graduates that then we can bring back into our undergraduate endorsement schemes that we have for degrees, our postgraduate schemes. So it's very, it's very much a relationship where we listen to organisations and what they want, the employers, the deployers. We listen to students in terms of what's needed in the graduate workforce sector, and that we're also thinking, so what's next? How can we make sure that we're ready to respond to what the next agenda is in sport and exercise sciences? Whether that's something, for example, like the White Review that we've had, changes in funding, whatever that is, we want to make sure that we're at the forefront, and that we're developing and advocating on behalf of everybody who's linked with the association.
Wow, thank you. Yeah, that was brilliant.
So moving more specifically onto the KC's benefits for students then, Zoe, does KC sort of help students prepare for careers in sport and exercise or sort of health related fields?
Yeah, good question. And I think it's best summed up in terms of a single word, actually, which is opportunity. KC's provides a number of CPD offerings in terms of webinars, resources, great podcast series like this, conferences, free to members division days, the sport and exercise scientist, articles within their newsletters, expert statements, things like that, and opportunities for networking as well, I think is really important. And the student advisory group is doing a great job of making that happen. And it provides that kind of base and connectivity, a go-to place for you to have a look at. I wonder if Casey's has got a webinar on this topic that I'm interested in for my dissertation. I'd like to go along and meet some sports scientists, perhaps looking for a placement opportunity or whatever that is. So it's definitely about opportunity. As an association, of course, we offer discounts as well in terms of laptops and Routledge, JSS subscriptions, that type of thing. Towergate insurance, if you need professional liability insurance, and other sort of products and things. And we know that those land well with students, and we know that they're very well used. But we're definitely more than that. I'd say it's about seizing the opportunities that being involved in or being a member of an association that represents your degree study and potentially your career choices is really, really important, actually.
Yeah, that's brilliant. It's those opportunities that can open doors to different avenues as well. That's great.
Absolutely.
Yeah, brilliant. So does KC's offer any mentoring, networking, sort of practical experience or placement opportunities then that students can help sort of transition into the workforce?
I don't think that they, that we do that directly. Again, it's about providing opportunity for that to happen around conversations, queuing up for coffee on the division days, to, perhaps hearing from somebody on a webinar or through our socials. It's that type of networking that I think is really, really important. KC's has some great partnerships and memorandums of understanding to make sure that as an association we're connected to other organisations that are in our field. But also key players in the sport and exercise science sector, for example, the UK Sports Institute, UK Anti-Doping, the Premier League, the Science Council. And we have a number of MOUs within the UK and internationally. We fully understand that, the global employment market potential for our students as well. We're currently looking at international standards and the transferability of standards that you can achieve through KC's and what that might lend itself to internationally. So we don't necessarily provide those direct opportunities, but we do provide opportunities where for students who want to lean into that, to attend, to engage, to explore, that they're really, I'm aware of situations where that's happened and people have literally chatted over a coffee in the queue on a division day, and that's led to this and led to that, an opportunity. Oh, I'll put you in touch with So yeah, as you advance in your career, you need to build those networking skills, and I think Casey's does that in abundance with the offer to the students.
Yeah, that's excellent. I think it is. It's expanding your networking and horizons. And as you say, you don't know where a conversation might lead. So thank you. So looking sort of at a resource from Casey's that you potentially use if you're busy and you still want to keep up to date with everything that's going on, is there anything that you sort of do to sort of keep in touch with Casey's and its developments?
Yeah, you know, as a professional as well, as a sport and exercise psychologist, it is important that you keep up to date with what's happening. And I think Casey's does really well, the sort of snippets that you can grab if you're commuting on the train through socials. There's been some great offerings recently from the EDI group that I spoke about, one recently on the Women's Rugby World Cup, and it's a flick through some slides and some really interesting perspectives on that. So you can pick something up there if you're on a quick commute or you're early to your lecture and you stood outside the lecture room and you need, you know, a couple of minutes. All of our webinars are recorded and available on demand, and I fully appreciate we're in an on-demand culture. And I've certainly been known to kind of watch half a webinar whilst skillfully preparing a spaghetti bolognese and and preparing a meal, and then sort of pausing it and then returning back to it the next day, maybe when you're grabbing a coffee and things. So I think what Casey's does really well is that sense of, we know we have a responsibility to develop members from students right through to, you know, to early and later career stages. But we also know that time, we can't schedule everything to be live, and it needs to fit into your workflow and things. And yeah, I know of colleagues who've had young children and families, and they've watched a webinar in the middle of the night whilst they, you know, sort of undertaking care and responsibilities and things. So yeah, it's not about. It, you know, I guess Casey's can be convenient. Have a look at what we put out there on socials. Have a look at the webinars, the articles that are out there, expert statements. Can take 15, 20 minutes to read. You can download them and access. So yeah, we're conscious of making sure that our communications and our CPD and the way that we work fits into people's lifestyles, I think.
Yeah, brilliant. And I think especially for students as well, when on the go or, you know, commuting, it's a great way to sort of keep in touch.
Absolutely.
So, Zoe, obviously myself and Annie are part of the student advisory group for Casey's. We as a whole, the SAG, 10 members of us, student representatives for each division. We think that Casey's already does a great job with regarding inclusivity and representation of student members and their voice. But how do you think that the organisation ensures student voices are heard and respected within kind of the wider professional community? How does Casey's approach this, and how does it make sure that it as students are heard?
Yeah, you guys are doing a great job as a group of 10, and I'm always really keen to hear what's happening with and for our student members. What are the challenges that you're facing? Where's the great practice that's going on out there that we could maybe use the platform of Casey's to share? So it's and I think we have to create appropriate fora for students to be heard, and the structure by which student members that are listening today could get in touch with their division rep, they can get in touch with yourselves, and certainly as chair, I know we've been speaking recently, the board is really keen to hear from voluntary groups that operate within the association, and we have a board meeting this month where we're hearing from across a number of agendas and the fantastic work that's going on across the association for and on behalf of members. And I'd love the student group to come and talk to the board, and for us to hear from you in terms of what you need from us as a board, what we can do for you within the sector and the advocacy and public and external affairs, the work that we're doing. We keep very much up to date with what's happening in the sector, you know, for students. We're connected to the Office for Students. We've done an evidence response to them in the last 12 months. And it's about listening, and I think we do that really well as an association, because it's powered by volunteers, essentially, like yourselves, that are giving up your time to support the development of other students and the association and the sector. So I think we need to find opportunities to listen. I would say to the students tuning in today, speak up, because you will be heard. And if you need Casey's to advocate on your behalf, to explore something, for a project to be created with some funding that can help to tackle an issue or a matter, or just being curious about something, speak up, because I genuinely believe through the advisory group and the association, you will be heard. So I think I'd like to feel that Casey's offers that, and that we can develop that with yourselves coming along to board in the very near future, so that we can understand what's going on as well.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, it's speaking to the board obviously is a great opportunity, and I think us as a group, we're definitely up for that, and we're definitely going to be collating as a group, and then just obviously updating you all. And I think we've got some points that we can put across, so it's nice to know that obviously as students we're all members, whether it be students or professionals, so it's nice that we've got that platform to be heard, so it's really good. So just kind of going on to a more kind of a student success story with Casey's potentially, or whether you know where students could go to find out about other students' journeys throughout Casey's potentially. Have you got an example, or where can students go to find out this kind of information?
Yeah, I guess a good starting point actually is the Casey's career guide that's produced every 2 years. The last one was written as Bases, but it's a free resource on the website that anybody listening today, if you're not a Casey's member, you can still get access to that resource. And as a Casey's member, you get further access to a range of case studies from professionals that were, when we wrote the guide, were really willing to sort of step forward and say, yeah, I'd like to share my career journey that maybe wasn't traditional. Some were very traditional in terms of that natural progression into the sector. Others went different ways. And I think there's some really nice insights there. We do always try and ensure that there's opportunity within sort of webinars, articles, to hear from those that have been successful in the sector. And it'd be great to hear from the student advisory group. Who do you want to hear from? Would you like to hear about their career path? Perhaps they're doing a particular prominent role, or do you want to hear from somebody who's gone into perhaps a profession allied to sport and exercise sciences, whether that's public health, whether somebody has gone on to train to be a mental health nurse, or gone into, you know, the physician's associate program, or whatever it is. If there's people you want to hear from, get in touch, and certainly we can have a look through our fellowship, and we can reach out to the organizations that I spoke about and sort of say, would anybody be willing to do a podcast like this or do a piece for the Sport and Exercise Scientist. So yeah, without sort of directly flipping that back to you, who would you like to hear from, I guess, would be great to work with as a start point for that?
Yeah, so for me, off the top of my head, I don't have a specific name, but practitioners for me, those, as you said, that have kind of either gone through the academia and then or either way, really, academia to practitioner, practitioner to academia, how those two roles then interchange and interact with each other and develop. So that's kind of where I would, that's where I would like to go in the future. So me personally, being on the academic route at the moment, I'm still quite keen to have my toe into a practitioner role. So I would like to know how they can coexist, or whether it would be better to maybe go down one route first and then transition maybe.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
for me, that's kind of where I would like. And it'd be great to have like yourself, somebody here that we can just pick their brains and get some ideas.
I wonder if that might be best served by a panel or something like that. And the association, I think historically, so I'm going back to the 1980s now, was very much about people who worked in academia.
Yeah.
And over time, as the roles have changed and lottery funding and sport and exercise science becoming a feature in organisations and, you know, through publicly funded, private funded initiatives, research, you're absolutely right, Vicky, that there is a practitioner workforce that's out there. And we're really keen to make sure that features in the work that we do, that we're not talking to everybody being a higher education academic, that actually our conferences, our webinars, our work that we do as an association really takes on board that there is a huge practitioner workforce out there. Some of them are sole traders or freelancers, and creating their own work portfolio from operating in that way. So absolutely, it's achievable. And wouldn't it be great to be able to ask those questions? So how did you do it? And it might be, how did you do that from the off, finishing your studies? How did you do that if you were in academia and transferred out of academia into professional practice? Did you dip your toe in the water? Did you kind of, you know, dive in? I'm sure there's lots of different ways that people have done that. And there are different types of you know, workers out there in the sport and exercise science sector. Some of them might not be, you know, they might be working through public health, they might be working through human resources, they might be in research and development. Again, it's about who do people want to hear from, and absolutely we'll do our best to try and assemble the opportunities to chat with those people. And practitioners in particular, I fully understand that question.
Perfect. That's it. Really good suggestions there. We kind of touched on it a little bit, but obviously as the student advisory group, we're really big on obviously pushing the student voice and making sure students have resources and various different types of resources, because I know for me personally, a lot of kind of audio for me, I listen to, but I am very visual. So if it is a bit of an infographic, as well as an audio or a video alongside an audio, I tend to take that information in a bit better. So we as a group have been trying to put together more kind of infographics for specific times of the year for students. So we've launched this year the student newsletter. So we've had two installments of that so far. And we've really tried to link in the student newsletter with hot topics, key events that are linked to Casey's, as well as just the general sport and exercise science world. So with all of our resources that we are kind of putting together, obviously we then end up with a lot of information that we just need to make sure we're disseminating to students in nice sections, if you like. If we go forwards, so our next newsletter will be centered around this podcast and making sure people are aware of the podcast itself, the new series and the resources. But What would the suggestions of key topics be from yourself about what students would like to hear, or maybe even from a Casey's perspective of what Casey's wants students to hear going forwards?
Yeah, and the offering from Basie's, said it again, haven't I? Casey's, the offering is driven by practitioners, academics, those that come forward and say, I'd really like to deliver a webinar on this, or I'd really like to write an article on that. And there are, as you said, there's sort of the digital TCES, there's the podcast, there's the webinars, there's the distilling of information that we put out on socials. We've had journal clubs. And I wonder now whether it's the time to maybe offer sort of coffee meetings or something that what is coming over the hill in terms of our sector? What is the hot topic? Is it something that comes out in the press that we hear about, and giving the opportunity for you to get information in compact, trusted, on-demand ways, infographics, things on socials, but also in depth that might help you to supplement what you're learning on your programs. Maybe something isn't on your program and you're super keen at it. And I think when I talk to students, it is about applied practice. What are the skills and the tips and the What have you tried? Things that you can't pick up in a journal article or a textbook. Things that didn't go particularly well, but you've learned from that. It's that craft knowledge.
Yeah,
I guess that's really hard to come by. You're not going to see it in a journal or a textbook.
No,
it's actually about, well, you know, so why did you change it that way? Or talk us through the decision making to go back to that approach. And the opportunity to interact as well, actually, rather than it be a case of we're giving you the information, that exchange is important. So maybe we need to think about platforms that where we can do that, whether that's on LinkedIn, whether that's on, through socials, through panel discussions, through case study discussions. So would that sit really, somebody talking through a particular case that they've worked through? And then the opportunity to discuss that. I think there's lots of possibilities. I would want it to be interactive where we can to allow students to be able to develop those skills to speak up, to question, to ask, I'm curious about this, can you tell me a little bit more about that? So really practice those skills, but also that we get trusted information out in a way that works for you and your workflow and timetabling and all the other things that you have to do as students, but it's there for you when you're ready to engage.
Yeah. I think the case study breakdown that you suggested there is nearly perfect, especially for those that are looking to go forwards and work specifically with sports teams, athletes in the field, just to get that idea of you do have to think on the spot sometimes. You do have to go back and actually assess your athlete's needs, your capabilities, and come up with a plan or an idea of how to go forwards. That's brilliant.
And it's something that you would have to do if you went on to professional training, either through supervised experience or the SEPAR route, where you have to articulate a case study in your submissions. And if you're on SEPAR, you have to do that as part of a presented workshop, as part of that training program. But just being able to see that, rather than it being on a flat piece of paper, that there's the opportunity to discuss, ask questions. I'd say to students, be bold and put your hand up and say, can you tell me why you did that? Or try and engage in that kind of learning. So it needs to be two-way, but we might have to have a think about how that works. But I'm sure there'll be lots of practitioners out there that will be willing to share, subject to confidentiality and everything, and everything else, but share their ways of working. And hopefully they'll also say, look, I didn't get it right all the time. we had to go back and change this, or that didn't work. And giving that insight hopefully will allow students to understand what the role that, if they're aspiring to be an applied practitioner, what that looks like and the realities of it, actually, because sometimes it's complex and messy out there, I can tell you.
So we're looking towards the future then. Could you please share with us sort of some of the exciting upcoming initiatives that Casey's students can be aware of and get involved in, really?
Yeah, I mean, for the future, we've just recently introduced the availability of certificates for those that have completed Casey's endorsed degrees. So students can go onto the website around their graduation when they get their degree certificate. They can also download a certificate that says that they've undertaken a program of study that's been endorsed by Casey's. So that's something we're really, really proud of. I think this Student Insider podcast series is great, and I can't wait to tune into future episodes. I tend to be one of these that listens to podcasts when I'm out walking the dogs, so I'll be waiting for the next instalment. We've got our combined conference next year, so this is a reimagined conference. Over time, we've had a separate student and annual conference, and we've basically reimagined it and thought we need to bring students and those more experienced, our professional members and established academics and practitioners into the same space, because if you're going to network and hear about how they did it, and you need to be together, right? So yeah. I'd encourage students to think about coming along to our student conference next year in Manchester. And we've deliberately made sure that there is opportunities to network, to hear from those experienced in the sector and offer advice, that there's specific student sessions as well, where you can learn some craft in terms of being a practitioner or being an academic or presenting at a conference, practicing those skills. But honestly, give us a try on the Reimagined conference. We'd love to hear from the students that attend how it was for you in terms of the experience. We're not holding a conference this year, student or annual, in order to reimagine it for next year. And we're really excited. There's the satellite programs going on. There might be opportunities to pull together a student group satellite event. It could be one of those opportunities, Vicky, you were saying before about who do you want to hear from.
Yeah,
let us know. But whilst I appreciate it's challenging times for students financially, Casey's have worked extremely hard to ensure that the price is acceptable for students, and that you will get a lot from that. And of course, being in a city like Manchester, there's plenty of options for accommodation. You can dip into the conference dinner or not. So have a look at the package that's available. And I think going forward for students, there's we've over the last couple of years offered specific webinars that are career pathway driven, how to write sort of CVs and cover letters, and a specific series that gives you, that hopefully will make you stand out from other applicants in the field, in the graduate market. So keep your eye out for those. I think it's the student advisory group are representing all of you students that are listening today extremely well, and get in touch with them if there's something that you think we can do better with, that we can do more of, that we can start, stop, continue. Let us know. It'd be great to hear from you.
Yeah, definitely. We'd love to hear from them. And I think echoing what you mentioned before about getting involved with the conferences, it's sort of links back to what we were saying about that networking opportunities and the opportunities by going to a conference. You don't know where that conversation might lead. So, yeah, I think I'd encourage people to definitely get involved with that next year.
Yeah, and talk to your institutions about presenting at the conference. I'm sure the student group, everybody feels apprehensive about going to a conference for the first time. I'm sure an absolute warm welcome awaits everybody who comes to the conference, and the student advisory group will play a role in that, in ensuring that if you are apprehensive, that maybe you can meet up with somebody, you can chat to people in advance. So it's often that first conference experience that people feel very apprehensive and anxious about. But how can we make that less for you? How can we help with some of those anxieties so that you can come along and enjoy the conference experience? And what we find is when people come along to the first one, that I'm definitely coming back. But we understand that those first conferences. So, the student advisory group, I'd love to hear some ideas about how we can make that, how we can really make it welcoming, how we can help those students that might be, experiencing a conference for the first time. What can we do to help so that you're not feeling as though you're walking into the room for the first time on your own? Would it help to meet somebody, have a specific student stand where you can go and connect and meet, and a place, a student-based area in the conference? Love to hear your ideas.
Yeah, definitely. I think it's the unknown as well. But yeah, absolutely, brilliant. I'd love to hear from you. And then touching upon that then, so what sort of advice would you give to students then, sort of to make the most out of their KC's membership?
Yeah, if you join, and I certainly hope you do, take a look at what's available to you. Push yourself out of your comfort zone. You can be a passive member and have information come to you through newsletters, through socials, through webinars. So you can be passive if you want to, and that's absolutely fine. There's a wealth of information out there that can come to you. But maybe think about how you might get involved as a student, whether that's in some of the panel discussions, maybe writing an article or working with the student advisory group. Why not offer to support the student group on some projects or initiatives? Put yourself forward for nomination to be part of the student group. So it's your association, and I say this annually at the AGM, it's your association. It's powered by volunteers, and our student members are absolutely integral to what we do and the future of sport and exercise science. So don't look at it as just a membership and you get a newsletter and you get access to this. Lean into the association, step forwards, be brave, be bold, and get involved in what is your association. I started my journey as a student member many, many years ago, and then became a division member, a division chair, and now chair of the association. So get involved. Don't see it as a membership, see it as an opportunity to develop new skills, to set yourself apart from the rest of the field. And if you want to get involved in your association, please make yourself heard, and I'm sure we can work a way of mobilizing that collective workforce.
Yeah, thank you, that's really great advice. And then sort of linking it all together then, we touched upon that, so how would you see KC's evolving to meet the needs of the future sport and exercise scientist students?
Yeah, it is, as you say, Anne, it's kind of bringing together what we've talked about through the podcast, and the association is really keen on ensuring that we meet the needs of the next generation of sport and exercise scientists. We want to ensure that the employers and the deployers know about sports science graduates, that government knows about the value of a sport and exercise science degree, going forward, and that it's versatile and it gives you an understanding from, cells, cellular science to that of community interventions for human behaviour, to physiological systems. So we have to, I think we have a huge job, and we're certainly making ourselves known and heard to advocate for sport and exercise science in the UK, whether that's through the Office for Students or from government calls for evidence. We've submitted to the COVID inquiry, for example, and we're making ourselves heard. We're in touch with key players in UK sport and the organisations that have spoken about. So we want to advocate on your behalf and make sure that sport and exercise science is a sustainable profession going forward, and it has value to, you know, to medical sciences, to community, to community interventions, to public health, all of that. So we're doing that on your behalf.
Yeah, brilliant. It seemed great to see it progress over the years as well.
You've been listening to Casey's Student Insider, the interview series with the Chair of Casey's, Professor Zoe Knowles, Casey's Fellow, and Student Advisory Group interviewers Victoria Tidmus and Annabelle Skidmore. Visit www.caseys.org.uk to find out more about the student membership. This podcast was produced on behalf of the Chartered Association of Sport and Exercise Sciences 2025.